Here, and it's my privilege to share Corinthians 5, and we'll be focusing in on verses 16 to 21. But before we begin, let me pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to meet together and hear you speak to us through your word. Please help us to hear what you have to say to us today, to understand it, and to live it out in our lives. Amen. Reconciliation. This is a word that is mentioned several times towards the end of the passage that we heard read this morning, five times to be exact. So it's safe for us to say that those verses, Paul is speaking about reconciliation to the church in Corinth, and in particular, something that he refers to as the ministry of reconciliation. And we'll also be focusing on that this morning. However, reconciliation might not be a word that you hear or use very often, unless perhaps you're an accountant, or you hear a news story about people talking about mending historical divisions between different ethnic groups. So, what does the word reconciliation mean in the context of this passage? Well, reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relations after a breakdown in a relationship. It is the change in a state of a relationship from being hostile and divided to being in harmony and fellowship. In this passage, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's telling them something that is just as true for us today as it was for them back then. He's telling them that there's been a breakdown in their relationship with God, they've been alienated from him, and he is earnestly pleading with the Corinthians to be reconciled to God, to mend their relationship and return to being in fellowship with him. Now, none of us are perfect. We've all sinned many, many times against our perfect God of all things. As Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If that's the case, if all of us have sinned and messed up and ruined our relationship with God, how can it even be possible for sinners like you and me to be reconciled to a just and holy God? Well, as we go through this passage, we'll firstly see the amazing reality of how God has accomplished this reconciliation, and then what we, as people who are reconciled to God, are called to do in response. This leads me to my first point, how we have been reconciled to God. Have a look with me at verses 17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. In this text, Paul draws attention to the fact that God has reconciled the world to himself through Christ. That is to say, that God has restored friendly relations with himself for all those who have become new creations in Christ. Those who are found to be in Christ are therefore no longer enemies of God, but have been reconciled to him. This is fantastic news. We're able to have true and lasting peace with a holy God who we've all sinned against and offended greatly. But you may wonder, how can we even be reconciled to an infinitely holy God? Does God simply overlook our sin and rebellion and brush it under the rug? No, he doesn't do that at all. He doesn't choose to look the other way as we might when we're trying to mend relationships as humans. But no, an infinitely holy God has a divine justice that demands sin is punished. And the Bible tells us that there is only one sentence for rebellion against the God of all things. And that sentence is death. That is the punishment that we all rightly deserve to bear for ourselves. However, the good news of verse 21 is that God has instead satisfied his divine justice by laying our sins on our perfect, sinless Saviour, Jesus Christ. Have a look there with me at verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In the cross, we see the love and mercy of our God displayed in the giving of his Son to take the punishment for our sins that we all deserve in our place. God does not count the sins of the believer, of which there are many against them, because they have been nailed to the cross with Christ, and he has completely borne the punishment that we all deserve in our place. That is all the sins you've ever committed, all the sins you continue to commit, and all the sins that you will commit until Christ returns and sin is finally no more. Jesus has already taken the punishment that all of those sins deserve upon himself in his death on the cross for all who believe and put their faith in him. And more than just receiving forgiveness for our sins, the wonderful reality for the Christian is that we also receive, not only are our sins forgiven, but as a new creation in Christ, his righteousness, which was achieved through his perfect and sinless life, is also credited to our account. We've been reconciled with God, and as a result, we can stand before a just and holy God, blameless in his sight, because we have been clothed in the perfect righteousness of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In 1492, two prominent Irish families, the Butlers of Ormond and the Fitzgeralds of Kildare, were involved in a bitter feud. This disagreement centred around the powerful position of Lord Deputy. As tensions between the families grew, a skirmish occurred outside the city walls and things turned violent. The skirmish went poorly for the Butlers, who, realising that it was getting out of control, fled to take refuge in the chapter house of St. Patrick's Cathedral. They locked themselves inside. The Fitzgeralds followed them into the cathedral, but instead of wanting to continue the fighting, they decided to try and make peace. They asked the Butlers to come out so that the two families could make peace, but the Butlers were afraid that if they came out, they would be slaughtered, and so they refused to come out. As a gesture of good faith, the head of the Fitzgerald family, Gerald Fitzgerald, took his weapon. He cut a hole in the door and then thrust his arm through as a sign of friendship. Seeing that Fitzgerald was willing to risk his arm to make peace, the Butlers reasoned that he was serious about his intention. They shook hands through the door. The Butlers emerged and they made peace. Today, this door is known as the Door of Reconciliation and is still on display in the cathedral. This story also lives on in the famous Irish expression, to chance your arm. Just as the Fitzgeralds needed to make a hole in the door and enter into the chapter house themselves in order for reconciliation to become a reality for the two families, God has made reconciliation possible by coming out from outside of time and entering into his own creation in order to provide for us our own door of reconciliation. However, Christ risked much more than just his arm in order for us to be reconciled to God. Christ willingly gave up his life, dying to sin on a wooden cross, shedding his blood and satisfying the wrath of Almighty God to save us from our sin, enabling sinners like you and me to be reconciled to God and stand before him clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Given that wonderful truth, how much more grateful and accepting of the offer of reconciliation to God through Christ should we be than the Butlers were of Gerald Fitzgerald's arm extended through the door of reconciliation. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If we are in Christ, then we are new creations. We have been reconciled to God. The old has gone, the new has come. That leads me to my second and final point. Having been reconciled to God, what are we then called to do? So, if you can say that you're a Christian and you've been reconciled to God, what are you then called to do in response to that amazing change in status? Well, it's right there in verses 19 and 20, isn't it? And he, that is God, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal to the world through us, his people. We are representatives of a heavenly kingdom, and it is our responsibility and great privilege to share the message of reconciliation with the rest of the world until Christ returns. However, as I'm sure many of you have experienced in some way, the message of reconciliation that we have been called to share with others is not an easy message to share in this day and age. We live in a pluralistic world full of subjective truth in which, if the existence of God is even acknowledged at all, it is usually in a statement such as, all roads lead to God, or all religions are equal. We live in a world in which claiming that there is one way to salvation, and that only one true faith exists, and that all other faiths are false, is considered highly offensive, utterly ridiculous, or, at the very least, exceedingly arrogant. But that is the exact message that we are called to bring to the world as ambassadors for Christ. We see that exact message throughout the Bible in places like Acts chapter 4, verse 12, which states, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And John chapter 4, verse 16, which we heard earlier in our series on Jesus' I Am statements, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a message which is highly offensive to our culture because it is an exclusive claim that leaves no alternate way for anyone to be able to receive salvation and be reconciled to God. But that is our message. And we share this message not because we hate the world or because we look down on those who think differently to us, but we share it because we want everyone to come to know about our great God and the amazing love and mercy that he's lavished on us. We share this message with others because we want them to know and experience the very same reconciliation with God and forgiveness of sins that we ourselves have experienced as new creations in Christ. Many of you will know of the magic and comedy duo, Penn and Teller. Penn Jillette of this duo is a self-declared atheist and has been since his early teen years. About 10 years ago, he uploaded a video to YouTube about an encounter that he had with a Christian businessman after a show that he'd done with Teller in Las Vegas. This man had been to the show the previous night and was standing off to the side while Penn was talking with some other people after that show. When Penn had finished speaking to those other people, the man came over, he introduced himself and said to Penn that he was at the previous night's show. He was very complimentary of Penn's use of language and said how much he had enjoyed the show the last night. After talking for a little while, the man then said to Penn, "I'm a Christian and I wanted you to have this." And he handed him a little Red Gideon's Bible with the New Testament and Psalms in it that he'd been clutching in his hands. He then said to Penn, "I'm kind of proselytizing," which is another word for evangelizing. "I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy," or looking Penn right in the eyes. Now, you might wonder how an atheist with such a strong disbelief in God like Penn Jillette would respond in a situation like that. Well, after recalling the initial encounter, Penn says these words, "It was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. I don't respect people who don't share their faith. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and you think it's not really worth telling people about because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not share your faith? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible, but not tell them that? If I believe without a shadow of a doubt that a truck is bearing down on you and you don't believe it, well, there's a certain point where I tackle you, and this is more important than that. I've always thought that. This guy was a really good guy, and he cared enough about me to share his faith and give me a Bible." Well, we can sometimes learn things from atheists, can't we? Even they are able to recognize that we are ambassadors for Christ and that it is not an act of hate to boldly declare that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ and what our God has done in reconciling the world to himself through Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. If you are a new creation in Christ, then God has made you to be his ambassador. As his people, that is our great privilege and responsibility to those that he has placed around us. So please tell others about what Christ has done for you in reconciling you to God. Work diligently in your role as ambassador for God's kingdom to present the good news of the gospel and emulate our great King Jesus. Don't shy away from telling others, even self-avowed atheists like Penn Jillette, about how you have been reconciled to God and how they can come to be reconciled to God as well. For if you don't share the wonderful offer of reconciliation, you're doing them a great disservice. Look for opportunities to share God's great love for us, whether it is in your own words or in the way you conduct yourself around others. Now, this will likely look different for each person, depending on your situation. It might be as simple as talking with your friends and family or co-workers after church on Sunday or about what you learned in church on Sunday. It might be inviting them to come along to the next service here at CRCK, or to youth group, or to some other event like Life Explored. It could also be just lovingly answering any questions they have about our great God and the Bible. It might involve joining a connect group or meeting one-to-one with someone to discuss the Bible so that you can grow and help others grow in the knowledge of God and his kingdom of which you are called to be a representative. Whatever your situation and whatever opportunities you are presented with, if we have been reconciled to God, we need to be earnestly seeking and praying for ways in which to share in the ministry of reconciliation that he has graciously given to us. As his ambassadors, we need to be pointing others towards Christ's amazing sacrifice on the cross and telling them about the offer of true and lasting reconciliation with God for all who put their trust in him. However, if that's not you, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, maybe you're an atheist like Penn Jillette, or maybe you're an agnostic and you've never really given much thought to God or Jesus at all, or perhaps you worship and follow a created God rather than the one true God who created all things. Please let me echo Paul's plea to the people of Corinth on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Let me also urge you not to put off reconciliation with God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would urge you all to receive the gift of eternal life, freely offered. Repent, turn from your sin and vain attempts to attain salvation through your own means, and instead, put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The sovereign God of the universe has entered into his own creation, revealing his love and mercy further to us through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man, Jesus lived a sinless life and died a sinner's death on a cross, triumphing over death itself, so that sinners like you and me can be reconciled to a holy God and then have the privilege of serving as his ambassadors on earth until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. So let me plead with you once more as an ambassador for Christ. Be reconciled to God, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reconciling us to yourself, even though we are so undeserving of your grace. Help us to work diligently in the role that you have given us as ambassadors for Christ, committing our lives to the ministry of reconciliation and telling sinners they can be reconciled to a loving and forgiving God who will treat them the same as if they were as righteous as his perfect Son Jesus, if they put their trust in him. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Well, we're Christ's ambassadors.